The 2011 Circling the Wagons Conference was a production of Mormon Stories Podcast and the Open Stories Foundation. For additional Circling the Wagons audio and video, and for additional content regarding LGBT issues within Mormonism, please check out GayMormonStories.org. Also, please know that the video for this conference is available at YouTube.com/MormonStories. And thank you for listening.
Now let us rejoice in the day of salvation. No longer as strangers on earth need we roam.
Hello, everyone. We'd like to go ahead and proceed with the conclusion of our conference. I'd also like to just thank John DeLynn, Ann, Joe, Julia, Jared, and all those who were the backbone and brains, however small or big that would be, of this amazing conference. Please give them a hand. John, I just want to say thank you. You've truly followed the Savior and sought after the One for so many. Thank you for your friendship. I know one day you'll hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I also want to thank our presenters, all those who presented, especially Carolyn Pearson, Bill Bradshaw, Jimmy Creech, Lee Beckstead, all pioneers who have circled the wagons today. Thank you for inspiring us, all that you've done and continue to do for our loved ones, LGBT and straight. We know that we stand on the shoulders of giants and walk the path blazed by you pioneers. Thank you. And Carol Lynn, I just want to say that you are the Mother Teresa of Mormonism. I just called you a name, Carol Lynn. Ministering to those who were and are so poor in spirit and nourishing them back to health. As I've listened to you talk, there's something, a secret something, about you that tells me I have a mother there. My name is Kevin Klusterman, and I'm a Mormon. Klusterman is a good, strong, masculine Dutch name, which roughly translated means he who cries at the drop of a hat. And I kept looking for the crocheted Kleenex box here. We know Unitarians keep it locked underneath, according to Joanna Brooks, but there is Kleenex over here, and I've got mine. So I do cry a lot, just to warn you. But I know I'm in good company with people that I admire, such as President Eyring, Jesus, and Joanna Brooks, just to name a few, not necessarily in that order. I am an unlikely person to be here at this conference. I'm a straight white male, married for 19 years, 3 wonderful children. I currently serve as the bishop of my ward in Illinois. I have a little bit of a Chicago accent. I've not had to confront LGBT issues in my own life. I've barely figured out what BLTG means. At first, I thought it was an acronym for a gourmet sandwich. Then when I finally figured it out, somebody added a Q. So I'm just trying to keep up here. I haven't had to confront this in my immediate family or my extended family at this point. I haven't had to confront it in my calling as a bishop. And I have not had to confront this issue with any of my close friends. So why am I here? Over the last year or so, I began to feel prompted, quite frankly, by the Spirit to learn all I could about LGBT issues. I began to learn, and I began to listen. I'm not sure why, but I believe someday I will have a fuller understanding of why I received these promptings, and after coming to this conference, I believe I have received a piece of that understanding. I've not always been an ally. Although I never acted out in hateful ways, I once believed that my marriage and my family were under attack by a gay agenda. And so there were times I felt the need to respond rhetorically to that perceived attack. I felt the need to defend traditional marriage and the traditional family. But as I began to listen and learn, my heart began to change. As I did my homework, I began to receive inspiration about this issue. As I listened to the stories, as I studied it out in my mind, as I pondered and prayed, my heart began to change. Little by little, line upon line, precept upon precept, through a series of events that I won't go into, to make a long story short, led up to me hearing about the three attacks on gay men here in Utah. It was at that point that I knew I needed to take a stand. I needed to get off the fence. My marriage and family were not under attack. It was my gay, lesbian, and transgender friends, sisters, and brothers that were literally under attack and beaten and curbed on the side of the road. And I could no longer play the role of a Levite or a priest and just shake my head and pass by. So I'm happy to tell you today that I've buried my rhetorical weapons deep in the earth, because I realized that my rhetoric, no matter how good intentioned, was giving fuel to extremists and haters who not only wanted to physically harm my beautiful and precious gay and transgender sisters and brothers, but to terrorize them and to torture them. So I covenanted with God that I would never use these rhetorical weapons again. And my sword of ignorance and fear, I beat into a plowshare of peace, friendship, understanding, respect, and love. Love unfeigned. A love with no strings attached. No qualifiers, no caveats, no fine print, no conditions. Simply a pure love. The pure love of Christ. I will continue to be an LGBTQ advocate and no longer an adversary until the day comes when every child feels safe and secure in their school instead of bullied to the brink, until every soldier who volunteers to serve their country receives respect and applause instead of boos and jeers and indifference or worse from presidential candidates, until all of God's children are treated with respect, equality, dignity, and love, until the truth sets us free and we are reconciled one with another and with our Father in heaven. Tonight, you have a new advocate and another ally. And I want you to know that if you don't walk as most people do, some people walk away from you, but I won't. I won't. I will walk with you on this road and share your burdens so that they may be light. I'm sorry. I'm going through the repentance process. It's a strange role reversal. I'm giving a confession. But it is my privilege and honor to be here with you. I hope I can be a minor character, a supportive character in your play. We will find the elixir in this journey and bring it back to the tribe. That is why I'm here with you today. Thank you. The time is now yours to share your testimonies. We will go until approximately a quarter after the hour, or until they give me the pizza signal. Actually, before we do our testimonies, we will have a special musical number, and I want you to know that this is a powerful special musical number. The name of the number is Blessing, and I believe it will resonate with you, our gay and lesbian, transgender individuals. I hope it speaks to you. Devin O'Donnell will be doing this musical number, and then you're free to share your testimonies.
Taken back by allegations, I've misdirected my life, I've changed, I'm a different man. Who I love ain't right, but I only wish you'd understand. Who I love is exactly what God has planned, and I only wish you'll give me your blessing. I'm sorry this hurts you. I'm sorry this numbs you. But I'm not ashamed of this fire I've inflamed. I was given this gift, love, from heaven's hands. Don't abandon me now for loving another man. All I ask is in time you'll give me your blessing. I know deep down that love right now. I know time heals the wounded. I just hope you'll come around. 'Cause I'm finally proud to state who I am. Your close-minded thoughts won't leave me condemned. And I'm sorry this hurts you, but I'm still your baby. Blood, have your eyes, have your smile. And nothing has changed here, I'm still the same. You taught me to love with my heart, I still do. I was given this gift, love, from heaven's hands. And I know this is not the life you had planned, but I ask that in time you give me your blessing. I'm not ashamed of this fire I've inflamed. I was living this life for somebody else. Now I've made a choice to live it for myself. All I ask is in time, you'll give me your blessing. I hope one day you'll see all there truly is to.
Before you come up here, I just want to remind you to please be mindful of one another and keep your testimonies brief so we can give as many people an opportunity to speak as possible. Try to be brief.
My name is Hugo, and I am a radical Mormon. And being a radical Mormon for me means that I too, like Joseph Smith, had my sacred grove experience. And I, just like Joseph Smith, believe in community organizing. And I, like Joseph Smith, believe in bearing this radical Mormon testimony with everyone. And perhaps just like Joseph Smith, in the process, I will piss off some of the religious establishment. Let me say one more thing. In the name of Affirmation Gay and Lesbian Mormons, which I'm involved with, and it is that we received an amazing hospitality this weekend with the Open Stories Foundation. We cannot return all that hospitality, but after the pizzas, we want to invite you to the lounge on this floor, and we want to hear from you. How can we, Affirmation Gay and Lesbian Mormons, better serve you and serve the community? And you know what? I am going to finish this testimony in the name of Jesus and in the name of everything that is true and good and beautiful. Amen.
It's such a privilege to be here today. I feel like this is like my chance to bear my testimony. I was excommunicated from the church about 2.5 years ago, and I haven't publicly given my testimony since then. I still have very positive feelings towards the church. I'm a bit of a conundrum. I still attend my ward that I used to. My church leaders and most of the members of my ward know that I'm gay and have been very supportive and kind, and I'm grateful for that. I'm very grateful for this kind of meeting where, you know, in the first session, I was thinking, gosh, this is what it could be like, you know? We could find a place where all our gay brothers and sisters can feel full fellowship in the church. I love my Savior very much. The reason I was excommunicated, you know, for a long time I lived my life, you know, trying to obey all the rules and trying to live my life according to the tenets of the church, and I finally met my partner, and he was worth it. He's made my life so much better. I'm so much happier now. I still have a testimony of the church. I think there's a lot of truth and goodness in it. And I promised myself I would never be one of those people who let bitterness or anger or resentment overtake me. They're not useful feelings. I understand why people have them, and it's often very justifiable, but I don't think it's useful for our souls. And I just urge everyone to maintain love rather than hate or bitterness or anger. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hello. First of all, I'd like to thank everyone involved in planning and participating in this conference. It's been a great experience. I'd like to bear my testimony that living authentically leads to happiness. And although I have found my authentic self outside the Mormon Church, I wish the Mormon Church and all Mormons well. But sadly, I did not learn this, what I call plain and precious truth in the Mormon Church. I learned that living my authentic life would lead to happiness from other sources, but most importantly from my own experience. Lastly, I'd just like to publicly thank Carolyn Pearson for her writings. They've truly been a catalyst to enlightenment for my parents. And also the Bradshaws with Family Fellowship has done a lot of good for my family. Thank you.
This is a very pretty building. Very, very pretty. My friends and I were constantly talking about how we wish that Mormon churches were as decorated as nicely as this. I just want to repeat once more, but truth is truth. And I want people to just, specifically like family and friends, all that stuff. Truth is truth. Tradition, fine and dandy if that works for you. But when that's not working, truth is truth. Do what is necessary. And what's funny too is I'm trying to figure out how to come out to my parents that I do not believe the church is true anymore. And it's a funny comparison, but I suppose the phrase "it gets better" can apply to many different facets of a person's life besides the homosexual aspect. Truth is truth. We should do what is necessary to make life better, even if tradition is just not working. Cut it out. Let it go.
I wanted to bear my testimony today because I want you to know what's possible. I'm 17 years old, just an innocent senior in a Salt Lake City high school, and I am a fully out-of-the-closet lesbian ex-Mormon. And I have no anger towards the church. I wish them all the best, and I know who I am, and I know what I believe. And I've been one of the lucky ones. My community has not ostracized me. My mother has not disowned me and has generally allowed me to be who I am, you know, with some righteous sorrow, but, you know. What can I say? I went through a period of quiet observation and questioning my beliefs in a kind of scientific mindset, and in the end, it was fairly simple. Is the church the only way to God? Is it the only true church upon the face of the earth? I went to other religious gatherings, and I saw God in the face of the Buddhists and the Hindus and the Sikhs and the Muslims and the Jews. And that was enough of an answer for me. Is it evil to be gay? The more I was around my gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender friends, and the more I got to know them, there was no more room in my heart for that belief. And then I came out to myself, and then I came out to my family, and then I came out to my entire ward and sacrament meeting. And what can I say? I'm a talkative chick. I can't shut up. And am I now cut off from God? Am I living a unhappy life because of my sin, I'm here to testify that I am not. God is here, and there, and there, and there, and there, and there. You do not need to meet a specific set of requirements set down by some agency. You do not need the authorization of a priest or a teacher or a bishop or a building or a book in order to pray and to love God. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. I didn't know where to sit when I came up here. The seating configuration is a little different, unfamiliar. I almost sat on the altar. But my name is Brad. I live in Raleigh, North Carolina, just down the road from Brother Creech, apparently. This is my fourth Mormon expression, Mormon Stories Conference. I think that makes me a groupie, John. Do I get a t-shirt or something? Okay. The thing is that I have not been involved with the church for coming on 8 years now. I left actually quite angry and quite bitter. But it put me on a different path of finding spiritual fulfillment that I look back on now and I find great satisfaction in that road and in that journey. I thought when I first left that I couldn't believe in God either. It's the Mormon God or atheism, you know. There's just nothing in between. And I quickly learned that that's just not true. And, you know, a lot of ups and downs, but I came to know, one, that God is real and that God is love. And that's all I know. And I don't need to know anything more than that to get through this life. I look back now and I'm amazed at how much I preoccupied myself as a believing member with the afterlife and with trying to rid myself of gay attractions so that I could attain the highest degree of the celestial kingdom. And frankly, now I just don't think about the afterlife. It's not a part of my daily paradigm. What I think about is, am I living a good life today, right now? How am I aligning myself with this God who is real and who is love? In attending these other Mormon story conferences, New York, D.C., and Atlanta this past year, I have been really amazed at how much pain is out there. These were all conferences not focused on the Mormon LGBT community, but on just a wide variety of issues. And people are really hurting and struggling right now on a wide variety of fronts. And like every Mormon Stories conference, they end with these testimony meetings. And you can see the hurt and the struggle that people are experiencing. As the history books open up wide, as science rolls out new findings that seem to contradict core Mormon beliefs. And so people are realigning their faith, they're realigning what they really believe in, and it's a painful process. Just this past year, I've had four or five friends who have approached me to get a better sense of what I believe in when it comes to God, because they're suddenly, you know, being confronted with the history and with the science and can't make sense of it. And I guess why I've been attending all these conferences is because I myself have been trying to find out how I can realign with Mormonism, not necessarily come back as a true believing Mormon, but to really appreciate and value all that it does for my family, my extended family, and all that it did for me in the first 30 years of my life. That's never going to go away, and so in that sense, Mormonism will always be a part of my life. What I'm finding now with my friends who have come to me is that I have this opportunity to share with them my knowledge of the divine and my knowledge of who and what God is, maybe ease their transition a little bit better. And I think that each of us here has that same opportunity as well, because, I mean, what group is better suited to talk to others about conflict in believing in a loving God. Who of us here has not had to define and redefine our relationship with God and with the divine? And I tell you, you know, the history books are not going to close, and the science is not going to shut off. I think that we'll continue to see our fellow brothers and sisters in the church struggle in maybe ways we can't even foresee yet. And we may very well be the ones who find ourselves comforting them. Thank you.
I myself feel like I'm lucky to have gotten up here first. But aside from that, I've really felt like I've proceeded on a journey of a new life in these past months. I am a BYU student. I was not out to almost anyone, just a few people, until about a month ago when I went to my first USGA meeting. And since then, my life has radically changed. And I was so afraid of what was going to happen, if maybe I was not going to like what was going to happen, and that there was going to be troubles and it's going to be hard. But I'll be honest, so far, I've loved it. It's been the most liberating, the greatest experience of my life. It's really helped me to see that something that I've been struggling with for so long has really never needed to be a struggle. And I personally know that God loves me, and that He cares for me personally, and that He knows what I am doing, and He watches over me. And He truly cares about where I'm going to go. And I know that as I embark on my new life, as I'm reborn and I try to traverse this crazy life, that He's with me. And I hope that everyone here can feel that. I know some people here probably don't have the same kind of faith in God that I do. But I'd still hope that we can all have a sense of spirituality, that we don't need to become shallow, meaningless beings. We need to remember who we are. We are still all children of God and have limitless potential. And I'm so grateful for that. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, my name is Kurt Peterson. I'm grateful to be here today. This is a beautiful sight. Nearly 20 years ago, I was in South Florida serving a mission for the LDS Church. And I was in a room kneeling with a couple other missionaries and an investigator who was praying literally, I think, to know if there really was a God. And at that moment, God answered in a way that left all of us speechless. I felt these swirling sensations overriding anything that could have possibly been happening because of the air conditioning vent blowing. It was stunning, really. And life marched on, and I came home, and I went to college at BYU, and I got those degrees, and I got married, and I have children. But it didn't stop. Life keeps marching, and today I'm divorced. I still have children who I love dearly, and I still believe in God. The testimony of the institution fell apart completely and utterly. But I still know that my Heavenly Father loves me. I was in a Gold's Gym in Provo, of all places, on one of the days when the media was covering all of the bullying and the suicide that followed. And that was emotional enough to be watching. And before I knew it, that same feeling, that same sensation was back. God telling me to get off my butt and do something about it. I had already reached the point where I was out and open about who I was. And I wasn't hiding anymore. But it taught me that God truly did still love me and care for me. and will always do so. And I hope each of you knows that and can share that with others of our brothers and sisters who aren't here today. And I say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
My name is Alex. I'm from Bakersfield, California. When I was growing up, I think I was very confused, as many of us were. I thought, oh, maybe I'm just developmentally delayed. I'm going to develop feelings later for girls or something. But when I was 17, I finally figured out I was gay, and that was what was going on there. And it made sense, finally. Oh, yeah. So, but being Mormon, I was very confused. I remember that I would read all these statements. I read the miracle of forgiveness and all these things and thought, gosh, what's wrong with me? How can I change this? And I remember just praying to God one day and feeling or hearing that it's okay. And unfortunately, after I came out to my parents, things were terrible for a while. I was told all of these negative things, and my dad took me to Evergreen, and the next 10 years, I spent trying to change who I was, trying to pray away these same-sex attractions, the struggle with same-gender attraction, and eventually, I thought I'd done it. I thought, you know, I've gotten to a point where I've got this under control. I got married in the temple, and then 3 years later, this year, I got divorced, and now looking back, I pray and I realize it is okay. It is okay that I'm gay. And I prayed, and my wife and I both prayed about it, and we knew that we needed to get divorced. We knew that that was the right decision for us, and that's hard. My family does not understand that at all. They've made that very clear. They've pressured me all kinds of ways to marry again and do all kinds of things. My bishop has told me the same thing, and it's been difficult, but I know that God will guide me, and I know that we can find answers in that. As has been said, that truth does prevail, and I thank you very much, and I say this in Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, I'm the one who ran up here because I saw four people getting ahead of me. Hey, it's my turn. I just want to thank all of you who are here, all of you who were here earlier that you're not listening to it now, but this is the first time in 3-4 months that I've had such a wonderful experience with the church, and I'm not even in church. And that is because of all of you and all of your wonderful spirits. And this sounds so cliche, doesn't it? But it's true. All of you are so beautiful. This is ruining my tough girl image, this crying thing. You are all so beautiful and so wonderful, and I'm so sorry for all the horrible things that have gone on and continue. I went to my branch president about 2 months ago or so, I don't remember, and I told him that I just don't agree at all with Prop 8. I was like, what in the world is this? Why can't people just do what they want? You don't have a problem with Methodists or Buddhists or anybody else getting married. Why pick on these people? They're still people. And I got called an intellectual, and I was thinking too hard, and I'm thinking my way out of the church. And just to accept it. And I won't. And I don't. I'm not going to be here tomorrow because I'm going to be at my church doing the exact same thing I'm doing right now. I'm going to bear my testimony about things that I know are true. That God is love. Wherever there are two people who love each other, there is God. And there is truth. And you feel edified from all truth. You know, I believe in evolutionism and the creationism, and I will all figure out how it all works soon. Ish. Ish. But I believe it's true, and you all feel edified when you get truth, just like my husband Tom was saying earlier. I just really wanted all of you to know that you're all beautiful people. And I want to thank all of you who gave keynote speeches or people who I just had the opportunity to get to know in the day and a half that I've been here. I mean, you've edified and touched me, and I know you can continue to do that. So please, please do. Keep talking. Keep introducing yourselves. Maybe wear a name tag all the time. Be like, hi, my name's Brian, or hi, my name's Kristen, and I love people. Thank you.
Hello, everybody. I'm a BYU student, and I attend USGA with these lovely people. And if I were at a testimony meeting right now there, I would be giving my name, where I'm from, and my relationship status. But I'm not going to do that. I think I'll just move on. My journey as a gay Mormon started with, maybe this is not the right term for it, but more or less nightmares. I would be in high school, and in my first semester of college, I'd have these extremely damaging nightmares, very physical, very emotionally draining things that were very difficult for me. And it wasn't until I took a year off from school, and I started blogging and connecting with other people who had gone through struggles like mine, that I really started to get to know myself, and I started to get to know my relationship with God, and that God loves me as a gay person. I started to realize that as I started to blog, and I'm just so grateful for all of you that have through the years put yourselves out there. You've been an example to me and have made me stronger to be more vocal. Something that keeps on that I keep on thinking when I'm at this conference is I just want to be home. I want to come home. I want to be home. And by home, I mean have the love and peace and security that I know God's true church is, and I'm not finding when I go to church in the Mormon community. And I'm convinced that God's true church looks like this, that it's in every one of you, and it's in your faces. It's in the way you interact with me and interact with other people that have difficult challenges and don't know the answers. And frankly, I think it's beautiful. I think it reminds me of Mary and Joseph, who, with the institutions around them when the Savior was to be born, there was no space for them. They lacked a place for the Savior to be born. So they created their own space. And they created their own space in a stable with the manger. And it's so interesting that the space that they created is probably one of the most beautiful, sacred, holy symbols that Christianity has, is that the Savior of the world was born in a manger. And I think as together we create that space, we're creating something that can be just as holy and just as sacred and just as beautiful. And I'm so excited for that. I'm totally done with the woe is me, I am gay and Mormon, pity me, I am a victim. I'm done with it. And I'm really excited to be more vocal about it. And you won't be heard if you don't make the music. And I'm ready to do that. I hope you guys are too. I say these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Hi. Gosh. I don't really know what to say. This is weird. But it's a good kind of weird. And I'm so glad I was able to come. And because this has helped me so much to come to terms with who I am and come to terms with my feelings and validating those feelings and not letting others invalidate them. And For the most part, I'm a closeted lesbian. And I had an experience where I had been having these feelings for a while, and I've been reading this book about different stories of lesbians, and because I was curious of how their feelings differed from mine and how they were the same, and but then I looked over a picture of the temple, and then I looked over at pictures of my family, and I just said, Heavenly Father, what do I do? I don't know what to do. And I've been praying about it for a while, not to try and undo these feelings or to say, no, I'm not, but to just help me figure out how to know when the time is right to fully out myself. And Heavenly Father, I just got the Spirit came to me, and the Heavenly Father just kind of said, don't care about what others think. Do what makes you happy. That's all I care about, because you're my child. It's okay if people don't understand. It's okay if others don't understand. And right now, I don't really have a lot of support. I don't have a lot of people that know. My family is very, very, very conservative, very narrow-minded. But I just want to thank my cousins, Misha and Adam, who personally paid for me to come here. They paid the fee and they drove me here, and I don't know what I would do if I didn't have them. I really don't know where I'm going with this anymore, but I'm really glad I came, and it's helped me a lot, and I'm just grateful for all you guys' comments and your words and your talks. I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Hi guys. So this was a pretty unique opportunity that I couldn't pass up. Just to bear testimony in this type of a setting. As I've been here and listened to what's been said and the testimonies and everything, it's given me an opportunity to reflect on my own experience and of reconciliation, of sorting through and figuring out what all of this means. And as Carolyn was talking about the hero's journey, the thought that came to me was, I remembered a particular experience I had And what was going on at the time I had the experience isn't that important, but it was what happened inside. And I realized that I was limiting myself. I was limiting what my experience was to what I saw around me. That I was relying too much on the way other people were living out their experiences. And that ultimately I had the power to create my own experience. And it is, you know, it's important to turn to others and to have mentors and that sort of a thing. But ultimately it's me who creates my experience. It's me who creates my life. It's me who creates my relationships that I have. And ultimately that's who all of us are. We are all creators. We all have the ability and the capability to create what the experience that we want to have, how we want to live out our sexuality and our spirituality, our Mormonism. We have that ability and that power. And I think it's through experiences like this where we're able to tap into that a little bit more, where conversation happens, and we're able to get in touch more with what's going on inside. So I am really grateful to have been here today and to participate and to hear the stories of others. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
My name is Sean Williams, and I come from a long lineage of Mormons and pioneers. I know what it's like to be a minority, especially, and to have the disabling fear of growing up as a minority and having a lot of labels applied. One of the most compelling reasons I'm up here, I think, was that I wanted to share that I am an atheist, but I also believe in God, which is a contradiction, I know, but I believe that it's possible. Well, I know it's possible because I'm living proof of that. But I feel the same spirit that you do, and I feel all the wonderful things, but I'm an atheist and I believe in God, and it's possible. So I'm also a minority in that way too, but I think that we can be creatures of duality. So, and life is strange, I'm learning. and I continue to be surprised, but step forward. All right, thank you.
Hello, my name is Christy. I am a straight, married mother of 5 children, and the journey that has brought me to this point where I can stand up here today has been a long one, consisting of several years. It's been an awakening for me, which the journey nearly led me straight out of the church, but the price was too high to leave. It would have cost me too many family relationships, and I come from a very conservative family and a conservative husband, and I love them so much. So I decided if I am to remain a part of the Mormon community, it would be on my terms, and I would be the kind of Mormon that I wanted to be. And I'm now the Mormon who's joining feminist reading groups, and the Mormon who's speaking at anti-gay violence vigils, and the Mormon who is waking up early on a snowy Saturday morning to spend the day with you fine folks. And I'm really enjoying where I'm at right now. What we have felt over the last day, this love in the room, and this warmth, and this this friendship. This is what we're missing at church. We need you. And if you don't feel welcome there, then it's truly our loss. Because what we are missing is what you have to offer. It's truly our loss. And just to throw a little mommy power out there, this was too great. I had to write this down. This came off of the LGBTQ Mormon Stories group. This was a comment made by Greg Van Dyke. I don't know if he's out here, but he said, "Mormon mommies taught me they'd be hell to pay if I didn't play fair and treat others with love and respect, no matter who they were. I think the revelation to give full standing to all, regardless of sexual orientation or gender identity, will come shortly after we reach critical mass and they piss off enough primary ladies." I just want you to know I am one of those pissed off primary ladies. And the time is coming and things will be getting better. And I'm so happy to be here with you today, and I love you all so much. And these things I say in the name of my Savior Jesus Christ, amen.
Okay, first off, it feels a little strange to be standing behind a pulpit in a church and first time in about 10 years and it being a Baptist church. I would have never guessed that this would be the arrangement we'd get. But nonetheless, as I sat and listened earlier to Brother Creech, we'll call him, talk about the fact that talking to gay Republicans, he knew that they had to be born that way because they were gay. Well, being a gay Mormon Republican, I mean, this is just conclusive evidence that in fact God created me just the way I am. And that's really the message I want to share, is that as long as we strive and do the very best that we can, we are fulfilling exactly the purpose of our Creator. In Mormonism, we have this notion that inside all of us is this little spark of the divine, or put another way, we are gods in embryo. My sense is, for myself, and this would scare the folks in my parents' home ward, I'm a gay god in embryo. That's just terrifying, I think, to Mormons. I don't know how that would work, but that's my sense. And perhaps the Republican side of this will mess it up, and I won't quite get to be actually a gay god, but I'm doing the best I can. You know, it's been a long process for me to stand in front of a group of people and actually say this. I've known John DeLynn for quite a while now. And when we first got to know John, I was doing a radio program that was focused sort of on local government issues and conservatism and a whole wide variety of things. And this was during the time I was slowly leaving the church in terms of an institution. And Open Stories, or whatever we're calling it this week, in terms of the movement, if we're open Mormons, or I don't know what we are, but we're something. That the sense that there were other folks out there made a huge difference. And the danger is you let somebody who's done radio near a mic and they don't shut up. So at this point, I'll just shut up and say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
So I'm a mom of a stepson who's gay and my daughter who I've had more experience with, and I'm more nervous up here than I was when my daughter told me she was gay. So that was a lot easier to hear than being up here talking about it. But I just want to say thank you to John, because I figured out that I just didn't have enough drama in my life. And now I have all this wonderful drama. And today I learned from Brother Bradshaw that I've got to fit it into this itty-bitty living space. So that's going to be a big job. And And I also had a little message for Bishop Klosterman, right? That you need to add an I to that, LGBTQI. Sorry, there was one more. And then don't forget the S, because straight people do exist. So LGBTQIS. Yeah. I just want to say again, thank you so much. This 4-year journey, I'm sure it's going to, yeah. Every time, I also have another thing to say to you. When you said that you didn't know any gay people, none of your family, you didn't think any of your family were gay, or your cousins, or your, you know, close friends or relatives, or that's not true. You just keep at it for 4 years and you will find that isn't true. So I just want to tell you all that I love you, and I stayed in the church, and yeah, I hang on, and it felt like it was just with a really, really fine thread, and some days it still does, but I've learned today, hey, just accept the drama. That is what it's all about. Just, it's okay, you can do it. And I just want you to know that I do have a really supportive group of people in our ward. I was serving as the second counselor in the Relief Society when my daughter came out. And in a presidency meeting, I asked the Relief Society president, where do I go? Who can I talk to? And she said, and my husband says, I don't think she really knew what she was saying. I think she was just saying, don't talk to me about it. But she said, isn't there a community group that talks about that? And I said, you mean PFLAG? And she said, yeah, isn't there something you... And I'm like, really? You're giving me permission to go to PFLAG? Okay, I'm on it. I'm going to go. So then a couple of months later, the first counselor came to me in church, and she said, hey, I just wanted you to know that I prayed about this, and I'm going to become an ally for the LGBT community. And she has a financial business, and she decided that she was going to